Today is Wednesday, February 13th. Shasheret's Pink Day. This is the Women's Chumash Shir. We're up to Bereishis Perek Yitches, the beginning of Parshas Vayera.
Okay, Rabotai. I'd like to try to finish up today, at least the first Pasuk. And we are up to the beginning of Parshas Vayera. Bereshit Perek Yudchet Pasuk Aleph. So I'm going to begin with the Al-Shich in page 68, and Nechama Becker, who was at the Gemara Shir Monday night, will tell you why we started the number 6. I forgot! From Monday to Wednesday? Pitches and catches reported today. So all the pages are numbered after pitches.
Yeah.
Don't you guys know anything?
Sure.
So, the Al-Sheikh makes a very interesting observation. It is not the pshat, far from it, but it's a beautiful thought. And when I came across it, I said, beautiful thought, I want to share it with you. If you look at Pasuk Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Zayin. Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Zayin. You have another Vayera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to Avram. Do not focus on the fact that by us it says a love, and there it says Vayera Hashem El Avram. Do not focus on the fact that it's Avram and Elav. We commented why Elav substitutes for Avram's name. It's to indicate that there is a connection between that which we just completed in Parshat Lech Lecha. Spent enough time on that. But what? Look at that pasuk and see how it's constructed versus the way it's constructed in our pasuk. And do you notice? Is it the same or any difference?
Different.
What's the difference? Yeah. Yeah. And here? Good. That's exactly the Al-Sheikh's point. Most frequently, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to somebody, it's Vayar Hashem El this person. It doesn't say Vayar El Moshe Hashem. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. It always says Vayar Hashem El Moshe. And that's the way, is the standard one in Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Zayin. This is one of the few locations where it says Vayera, it could have said Vayera Hashem, Elav, and it would mean the exact same thing. No problem whatsoever. So if you take page 68, that's Delon Betance's number. It's almost a waste. I should have just written 1, 2, 3.
So, run it out. I'll talk about it at home.
Excellent. Good. Good. Gotta be excited. Pitchers and catches coming. Because right now we're in the midst of the most boring season of sports. There's nothing going on. No football, no soccer. The NBA doesn't get interesting until the playoffs, and the Knicks are not making the playoffs. And the Rangers doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs. The hockey is just, it's just really bad. Anyhow, says the Al-Sheikh. It's in the second line. Vayera Elav Hashem. Vahu Inyan Ma'amaram Zal. The idea of this is based on what Chazal have said, Al Mashim Matsinu Pa'am Mizmor LeDavid, Upa'am LeDavid Mizmor. We all recite Tehillim. So when we sing Shabbos morning, Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Roi Lo Echsar, it's Mizmor LeDavid. When we put the Torah back on every Monday and Thursday, or on a Yontif, we say LeDavid Mizmor. Now ultimately it means the same thing. But why does the author of the Tehillim sometimes write LeDavid Mizmor and sometimes Mizmor LeDavid? It's got to be some logic to it. And he develops the following idea. Sometimes when you're wearing a fancy outfit, people will say, "Oh, that's a really nice outfit." Sometimes the people will say, "You're wearing that outfit really well. It really looks appropriate for you. It's really, you know, it does something for you." So he says, he didn't give an example. he says that that's exactly what LeDavid Mizmor and Mizmor LeDavid. Mizmor can mean that the idea of the song is appropriate for David. LeDavid Mizmor is so when you have Mizmor LeDavid, the focus is on what? The Zemer. The Zemer is now being orchestrated by whom? By David. Where it's LeDavid Mizmor, it's saying that the song is appropriate for whom? For David. In other words, when you reach a certain level of, in this case, of divine inspiration, sometimes the essence of the message is the divine inspiration itself. What message HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to share with you by revealing himself. But sometimes we want to emphasize not so much the message, but what? That the person is what? Being honored, glorified by having a divine revelation at that particular moment. So when the name precedes LeDavid Mizmor, so we say the Nigin Pas David HaMelech. That Mizmor is so appropriate for David HaMelech. Mizmor is the, when we say Mizmor LeDavid, the Mizmor is the main thing. And now that Mizmor is being attributed somehow or sung or authored by David. But it's not highlighting his ma'alot. Says the Alshon. When it says Vayera Hashem El Avram, the focus is of course is on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appearing to Avram. And who is the main player in the stage? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you say Vayera Elav Hashem, who now becomes center stage? It's Avram. Avram is the one who is worthy of what? Of Hashra'at Hashchina. So, says the Alshon. Up until Avraham engaged in Brit Milah, that it is consistently Vayera or Vayar, it says a couple of times, Hashem El Avram. But after he engaged in the mitzvah of Brit Milah, he now elevated himself to such a point that it's Vayera Elav Hashem. And he claims that this is not unique to Avraham. Anytime you and I engage in the performance of any mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats it as if you have now elevated oneself to such a level that if we were to be on the level of Hashra'at Hashchina, it would be described Vayomer Elav Hashem. Vayomer Elav, fill in your last name. So it's to highlight the performance of a mitzvah that Avram undergoes. And in order to highlight that particular fact, the order is switched, and this is the first time that it appears, but he now uses this as a building block going forward. So look at his words in after I started in that second line. Go to the third line. Even though he actually uses that. Of course he does. Yesh Adam Na'el Vosho. There are people who what? Who will look nice and they fit their garments. V'yesh Shelevusho Na'elo. But there are other people who what? Where the garment is appropriate for the person. Kach Omar Iyuv. Ani no'el litzdaka lehit labesh ba, vehi no'el lehit labesh bi. Talking about the mitzvah of tzedakah. I am honored, delighted, when I am garbed, wearing tzedakah, and tzedakah is honored when I wear that particular midah. Kach, lo bilvad hamizmor na'el David, ki im gam David na'el el hamizmor. Ve'al kein emar gam kein li David mizmor. Al derech ze yomar shekana Avraham al yedei hamila. Ki hine ad shiloni mol Avraham lo ne'emar Rak vayomer Hashem al Avram, vayera Hashem al Avram, hayad dvar Hashem al Avram, ki Hashem shenizkar tchila, hu na'e el Avram, lihit po'er ulehinot bo, Avram. Because up until now, what happened? It was Avram who was being honored by the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to him. Ach lo haya hu no'el Hashem be'etzem lehit pa'er. But Avram did not make any statement based at all that he is delight or that he is a beauty unto God based on the fact that whatever he had done. Ki orel haya, because he was uncircumcised. Ki al kein lo haya yachol lizbol hashra'at kidushat nevuah nebli yipol. The only way he could ultimately get any divine prophecy was to actually in a vision, as most Nevi'im, they would get this Nevi'im, fall into a slumber, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to you. Ach ata shenimol Eino omer vayera Hashem elov, ki im elov Hashem, ki hu no'e l'Hashem, al derech l'David mizmor. So he makes, the observation is a very good one. Again, his interpretation is not the pshat, far from the pshat, but it's a very nice, powerful idea concerning our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it's far from the pshat. That's why. Because it's far from the pshat.
How would you, according to pshat, how would you explain why it says a love first, which is unusual?
It's a good question. It's a good question.
Could be it's just meant for him and not for.
Okay, that's also possible. I think it has more to do with the fact that there is nothing being discussed here. The whole visit is Vayera Elov.
Right.
Nothing else. That's, I think, the simple pshat. God doesn't say anything to him. There's no message being communicated, which, as we pointed out, is highly irregular in and of itself. Good. Now, Abarbanel, looking at this pasuk, raises three questions on this pasuk on page 54. That's chaplain's number. Raises three questions. So as you well know, if you open up an Abarbanel, The way he writes his commentary is he begins each unit with questions. So on chapter 18, this parak, he has 34 questions, which he lists. And then, after the 34 questions, several pages, he starts answering, and it's one long, long paragraph. An English teacher would not like that style. And just one more, and he writes after, and I just took care of questions 2 and 3. I just took questions 4 and 5. That's the way he presents it. And in number 2, I bracketed question number 2. Hashela habet. Ma tam amru be'elonai mamre v'hu yoshev petach oel kechom ayom. Why is it that the Torah specifies elonai mamre? Okay, so we saw Rashi's answer. Remember Rashi's answer? That Mamre was the one who gave Avram the advice to accept, to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandment. We read that last week. But typically, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to anyone, any Navi, it doesn't usually say where he's appearing. And it certainly doesn't indicate where he was sitting at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him. You know, was he doing laundry? Doesn't say. We don't care what he was doing. Who? And also, all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Frank Field. Oh, it was very hot out. Kichom Hayom. Kichom Hayom. Why do I have to know that it is very hot outside? So Rashi will, each of the Parshanim will answer that. So before we continue, his question is, all three facts are something which are highly irregular. And he's right. They are highly irregular in divine communication. So just keep this place for a second, but just go to Rashi for a second, who also is troubled about Kichom Ayom and Petach HaOel and Yoshev. So let's go to Rashi for a second. We already read Vayera Elov, and we read last week Ve'elonei Mamre. V'hu Yoshev Petach HaOel. Now, just look what the printer did in the caption. The bold caption. Look what the, what did the printer do that's not in the text?
He took out the...
No, he added a vav. It's not?
No.
It's the caption is Yud Shin Vav?
Yeah.
Oh, in my Chumash, it's in bold, and it's Yud Vav Shin Bet. Because he wants to show the contrast is what he's reacting to. Anyhow, Rashi says, Yoshev Ksiv. Vahu Yoshev Petach HaOhel. It doesn't, so Rashi's not saying what the word reads. He says, Yoshav Ksiv. Yoshav. In other words, Yud Shin Bet could have been read as Yoshav. Don't forget, there are no nikudot in the Torah. If it's written with a vav, Yud Vav Shin Bet, you have no alternative but to read it as Yoshev in the present tense. But if it's written without a vav, you can read it three ways. Yoshev, Yeshev, he will sit. Yoshav, he sat. So Rashi says, Yoshav ksiv, he was sitting. But Bikesh la'amod, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu entered his room, Avraham appropriately said, I have to get up for the Rabbeinu Shalaylam. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shev, you sit down, Abe. Va'ani e'emod, I will stand. Ve'ata, and this practice will serve as siman lebanecha, a future sign for your children. She'asid ani lehit yatsev ba'adat hadayanim v'hein yoshvin. Because whenever there is a Jewish court functioning, the judges must be seated, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing. How do I know? Because we said yesterday in the Shir Shel Yom, Elohim Nitzav Ba'adat El Bekerev Elohim Yishpot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present at every justice and he's standing. Nice little drash. What do you want to ask the Medrash in this comment? That's why it says Yoshev without a vav. It should have been written Yoshev with a vav. It's written what as a as without a vav to highlight that I could have read it as Yoshav. And why Yoshav? Because Avram wanted to get up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to sit. I have no problem with that part of it. But then comes the next part, the Siman Lebanecha. How does that Siman Lebanecha relate to what's happening right here in Parshas Vayera? How does this happen? Why is suddenly the Medrash telling us, you know what? In the future, when there is judgment, this is what's going to happen. The judges are going to sit, they must sit, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing nearby. Why talk about that here? So what I think is correct is, if somebody were to ask you, we know in advance that there are several messages being communicated to Avram by these three supposed angels. One is to heal Avram. Two is to inform him that what? That's going to destroy Sodom. And the third one is to inform Sarah. Okay. So which, if you had to identify and rank them, which would you think is the most significant of the three? I know what you're going to say. And you wouldn't be wrong. Which one are you going to say?
It's a baby. That's got to be a baby.
Number one. And then number two, I would say, heal Avram. There is also another episode to save Lot, but Rashi will say that the same angel who heals Avram can save Lot, despite the fact that angels only can do one thing. They're not multitask. But saving Lot and healing Avram is in the same ballpark. And then the last thing is to tell Avram that what? That he's going to destroy Sodom. That's what I say is the last. What message do you think this Midrash is telling us? Yeah?
Destroying Sodom seems to be the most important.
Correct.
Hashem is standing in judgment.
And who does he want to participate in this decision? According to this Midrash, the number one mission of these group of people is not to inform Sarah, it is not to heal Abraham, but it is to get Avram on board to participate as someone who will have heard the decision and try to do something about it.
Argue the case.
Exactly. And that's why suddenly, if this is the primary mission, that's exactly why the Medrash says, Siman Libanecha. This now is not just a bimikreh happening here. It's the primary reason. And if it's the primary reason, I can understand that in the future, this sequence or arrangement, namely God standing and Dayanim sitting, is important for us to know for all future cases. Because this is the essence of these three people coming. All the others are sidebar information, which is an important message. That's what Rashi happens to say. Yeah. In fact, I will show you how we acknowledge the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at every justice system. When you have a formal Bet Din sitting, the Dayanim are obligated to wear a talus. A talus. Why they wear a talus? Because whenever we believe the divine presence is intensely present, we have to shield ourselves from the Shekhinah itself. So what the Dayanim do is they wrap themselves in the talis as if to shield their eyes from the presence of the Shekhinah. For example, I'll give you a couple of illustrations. Birchat Kohanim. Why do the Kohanim cover their hands? Why? Because we believe that the Shekhinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests birashei etzba'ot shel HaKohanim on the fingertips of the Kohanim as they bless us. So we're not allowed to look at it. In fact, the Gemara says that if you look, you know, we all heard that as a child. Parents used to drill that into us, both with the hands of Tana, which of course makes the kids look, you know. And don't look, because you need to be blind. So one of the ways in which the Kohanim protect us is by covering their hand, not to see it. In the Sephardic ritual, Eidot HaMizrach, the Baal Tokeya wraps the shofar underneath his talis. None of the people see the shofar of the Baal Tokeya. And the reason is because Tiat Shofar represents Gilui Shekhinah. Remember how the Brach of Shofrot opens up. Atan Nigleita Ba'anan Kivodecha. Alam Kachichal Daberi Mam, where it describes Gilu Shekhinah at Mamon Har Sinai, Gilu Shekhinah at the Beit Hamikdash, and Gilu Shekhinah at Atid Lavo when Mashiach is going to come. Shofrot is Gilu Shekhinah. Therefore, the Baal Tokeya in the Sephardic ritual doesn't want anybody to be harmed by looking at the shofar. So here too, we acknowledge the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by all Dayanim, being mit'atev b'talit. The Rambam passes this way, not all judges do that today, but years ago, during the Sanhedrin, they all used to wear their talus in that regard. Yes? Yes, Yekis and Sfardim. Yeah, it might be the same idea. Just might be. Even though we don't necessarily have sources to indicate additional Gilu Shekhinah under the Chuppah. We don't have, it's not, people like to think that, and it's not a bad thought, but it's not their document. Yeah, question. Yeah. Take the other
why
one.
Why would it need an angel to come heal Aram if God is asking him to do this operation? Wouldn't it be clear that he would be healed? And also, isn't that kind of linked together with Sarah's pregnancy? That, you know, they kind of one and the same? His being healed and her being become conceiving?
It might be. But I don't think there's a guarantee just because you're doing a mitzvah that you're going to survive. We try to believe that somebody is, we always say, you know, holchedra, people who are, what do you call it, shluchei mitzvah. People are doing enom nizokin. There have been too many accidents to challenge that. But it's a good thought. It's a good thought.
Then
it's a good point. It's a good point. It's a very good point. I don't know. It's a good point. It is. Yes?
As a practice, it could also be maybe a sign for the judge, the weightiness of Dayanut. It's God with you. You don't just stand give a.
Correct. Yes, that's good. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. That's. Yes?
I get the feeling that Hashem is more of a spirit. It wouldn't be standing like a person. That's why I disagree with that. He stands and everyone else sits.
Well, we have no other way to relate to God unless we talk about him as a human being. There's.
I do.
Then okay, but how do you see him? How do you sense his presence? The Medrash tries to help us along. The Medrash knows ein lo demuta guf ein o guf. Everybody knows that, but in order to talk to us, and even more so to children, you have to imagine God with some type of form. Let's continue with Rashi. Then I'm going to get back to Barbanel. Petach Ha'oel. Why is he necessarily sitting by the door? Who cares where he's sitting? Petach Ha'oel. Says Rashi, Lim'ot im yesh over v'shav v'yachnisein b'beito. To see if there's any travelers he can invite. Everybody knows that was Avram's midah.
The exact opposite of stone.
What?
The exact opposite.
Yeah, where they're all locked up.
It's almost the...
Correct.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yes, people have noted that. Yes. And finally, Kichom Hayom. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to be Frank Field? Answers Rashi. Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chama Minartika. God took the sun out of its shell. Like there's a little shell wrapped around the sun to make sure that we don't get scorched. God took it out of its shell, shelo lahatricho ba'orchem, to keep Orchem away. He didn't want anybody walking around to bother him that day. Ulefi shera'uhu mitzta'er, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu noticed that Avram was in agony, why nobody was coming, shelo hayu Orchem ba'im, hevi ha'malachim ala b'dmut anashim. He sent these angels in the form of human beings, but that's why he was sitting Kichom Hayom. Why? It had nothing to do with Avram. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to protect Avram from nudniks, and the way he hoped to do so was by making it unusually hot, hopefully discouraging people from traveling. That's Rashi. Now let's see how Abarbanel handles these very three things. So he writes, in Be'elone Mamre, Kima, in the first line, Kima tzorech ladas be'ezo medina, o ir. Why do we have to know where, what country or city it was? O yishuv, haya, kishe ba'asu hanavua. V'im haya petach ha'oel, if he was sitting at the door. O betocho, in the middle of the house. O basada, if he was sitting in the field. V'im haya yoshev ha'omed o shochev. What difference does it make if he was standing, sitting, or sleeping? When he came at 10 o'clock, at 5 in the afternoon. What difference does it make? Be'ezu sha'a acheres me'ayom. Ki kol zeh haya bilti hechrechi l'inyan hanavua. None of this information is critically related to what? To the messages that he will receive. None of them. And Abarbanel is right in that regard. You could say, I'm going to destroy Sodom, I'm going to cure you, I'm going to let you sorrow nose come, baby. Whether Avram was sitting by the doorway or was sitting on his recliner in the middle of the living room, whether it was Kichom Ayo midday or was it 6 in the afternoon. The Haramban Kosav, Shehodio HaKasuv Shehayo Bailona Memre, Kadeshineda HaMakom Shiboni Mo. The reason why it says Elon Emarim, so we should know where he got circumcised. Says the Ram Ababana, Ve'eno Nachom. That's not correct. Kigamze Ritzona Ladas, Be'ezim Makom Nimol. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to let us know where Avram got circumcised, Lohaya Sarich HaKatuv Lahodia, the Pasuk didn't have to let us know now. Kol shkein shelo yitchayev mayot hamar ba'eloni mamre shenim osham v'haya ra'ui shelema'ala b'sipur pa'al ha'mitzvah yizkor be'ezim makom. If for some strange reason you think it's important to let you know where he was circumcised, where should it have given that information? When he circumcised him. In last week's parsha. That's where you do it. It says that Avram was nimol, where be'eloni mamre? Why dafka in the context of the vision that he is about to experience? So now you have to go to a different page, which is page 57. No, it's not 57. 19, this is page 19, that's Tanaka. This is his answer. There are 34. What? Yeah, it's the one that's cut off. It's the one right after this one. Yeah. The Abarbanel is 34 pages just to answer his first 25 questions, till just the first chapter alone. He's a very verbose commentary. Okay.
When did Abarbanel live?
He lived in the 15th century, and he in Spain. He was the finance minister of Spain, Don Yitzchak Abarbanel. Yeah. He is one of two commentaries who the world of Parshanut has been accepted by the broader Am Yisrael, despite the fact that he has exhibited no knowledge or expertise in Torah Shebaal Peh. None. Him and Ibn Ezra. All the others, every other commentary that is written on the Chumash that we handle, have documented their ability not only in Torah Shebiksav, but in Torah Shebaal Peh as well. Ibn Ezra and Rambam and Abarbanel are the only two. What? They're both Svardi. That is correct. And sometimes Ibn Ezra says things and it's abundantly evident that he does not a master in Torah Shebaal Peh. Because he just says things which are against the Gemara. Black on... Wait, crazy. God, he might be right according to the Pshat, but nobody accepts that Pshat as the Halacha. So anyhow, says the Abarbanel, the Omer al dat hamidrash, shehiye inyan hamareh hazot, shenirah Hashem laAvraham kedei levakro b'chol yo, ulerap oso mimachloto. Chazal are the ones who said that God came to be mevakechola. V'yiyeh lefi zeh hakatuv, mikushar imashe lemala b'parshat milah. Then there's obviously a connection between Vayera and the end of Lech Lecha, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh V'Gomer, where it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Nimol Avraham Ve'et Yishmael Beno. So this episode is going directly to that particular pasuk. Lehodia Sheba'oto Yom, on that very day, Vayera Elov Hashem Be'elonai Mamre. Ritzono lomar sheba'oto hayom gamkein shenimol, on the very same day in which he circumcised himself, nira elav Elohim ulezeh lo amar hakatuv vayera Hashem elav ram kemo shehaya ra'uy lomar betchilat nevua. Therefore it does not say vayera Hashem elav ram as it should indicate the introduction of every prophecy, Elo Vayera Elov Hashem, Lihiyoto Mikushar Im Hasipur HaKodem, to let you know emphatically that this is related to that which we studied previously. V'yetachlit HaMareh, and the ultimate purpose of this vision, Lehodio, Ki Ratza HaElohim Et Ma'asav, that God was pleased with his action. Kimo shene'emar vayet b'mishkan vayetzu vayevorchu et ha'am vayera kvod Hashem el kol ha'am. The Torah writes this at the beginning of Parsha Shmini, after the Mishkan has been completed. What does Aaron do? He blesses the people. And now, as a symbol of God's indication that he is pleased with the erection of the Mishkan, how does God indicate his pleasure? Vayera kvod Hashem el kol ha'am. God appears to them having to demonstrate, I am delighted with what you did. Ki mipnei hishtadlutam b'mitzvat ha-mishkan zachu lirot shchinat Hashem. Because they just completed the construction of the Mishkan, therefore they warranted divine revelation. V'chein Avraham mipnei mitzvat mila asher asa nira Hashem elav kidei shiyitaneg b'ziv hashchina. So God's appearance, says Abarbanel, is not necessarily to what? To be mevakechole. It's not the purpose of it. I don't need a medrash. I have a pasuk, a comparative pasuk. My comparative pasuk is the Mishkan. What did they do? They finished the Mishkan. Aaron blesses them. Does anybody remember what Aaron blessed them? What was the text? Rashi quotes it. Yehi ratzon shetishre shchina b'masi yadecha. May it be the will of God that the God's Spirit will rest in this building that you just built. And that's exactly what happens. Vayero kvod Hashem alam. So when you follow through and engage in the performance of a mishkan, of a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reward is that he appears to you. And that's exactly what happens here. Rabbi and Ukamosha Amru, he quotes another message. Rabbi Levi Patah, Vishar Va'ayil Lishlamin. There, in that particular parsha, where they dedicated the Mishkan, they had various korbanot, which they offered. And the Medrash makes the following statement. Uma in ze shehikriv shor va'ayil. Harei nigla alavu mevarcha'o. So if God reveals himself to a community that just brings a korban, shor va'ayil, Avraham shemo atzmo lishmi al achas kama v'kama. Certainly, certainly. And this idea in which Abarbanel establishes the connection between what and what? Mila and korban is an idea that has carried its way into much of our literature. Much of our literature. If you remember, after a Brit Milah, we bench. There's nobody left. Everybody's on their way to work already. Everyone's on their way to work. And in the end of the Birchat HaMazon, for a Brit Milah, there are six Harachamans that are recited. So, one of the Harachamans is an exact quote of a pasuk in Parshat Emor, which has a guideline about a korban. The Torah says, "Shoro cheselweis kivalei v'haya shivat yamim tachat imo." An animal that is born cannot be used as a korban for the first 7 days of its life. It has to remain with what? The mother. Umiyom hashmini vahala yeratzeh damo lefnei Hashem. From the eighth day on, you can offer this korban, this animal, as a korban. The harachaman that we award to the father is this text. Father, you observe the law of what? Keeping the baby with its mother for the first 7 days. And when are you now offering the child for a Brit Milah? Miyom Hashmini Vahala. So there are many such references, and Abarbanel is one of the first to identify this. So now he keeps going, and he's going to get to try to answer his questions. Shehine biaro shizot hamareh lo hayta lo ledaber dibur klal. The initial appearance of God did not say a bloody word. Ella lichvod milato. He came just because he wanted to honor Avraham. V'li nila, that's the marriage.
What does it appear to me? To feed darkam, if you want to accept their approach, shahai tachlit hamar'eh lirak oto ulechazko mechol ye hamila. They said that one of the major purposes is to cure Avraham from his mila. Ulezer amar hakatuv hanir'eh elav be'elo neimar'eh. Now I'm going to tell you, since the primary mitzvah, primary idea of God's visit is to cure Avram, not the way we said 5 seconds ago, that what's the primary mission? Sodom and Amorah, a judgment. No, it says about it. Primary is to do what? To let you know that God's coming to them. All of the details. Be'eloni mamre. V'hu yoshev petach oel. And Kichol Mayom are going to tell us why is it necessary for God to heal. Something is going on which is not conducive to healing himself. Let's see how he reads it. Ulezer amar hakatuv hanir'eh elav be'elon eimamrei v'hu yoshev petach oel kichol mayom, where it says Reish Lama, the next one. Motzon olomar. Sheliyoto choleh v'chalush hakochot. On account of the fact that he was very weak as a result of engaging in circumcision, v'haya kishenitkarer tivo mipnei hadam shiyatsan menu biyoto be'elone mamre makom bilti miyusha u'migule l'neged Hashemesh. Abraham, he lost blood. And when you lose blood, what happens to your body? Cold. Your temperature drops. Exactly, you get cold. And now I want you to know that where is this Elohim Amre? It's in a totally open field. Open. So what is available in this Elohim Amre? The sun. It's really powerful. Haya Avram Yoshev Petach HaOel Be'et Chomayon. That's why Avram was not sitting on his lounge chair in the middle of the living room. Where was he sitting? Petach HaOel. When did he decide to go out Petach HaOel? To Chomayon. Because he needed to warm up. He had to warm up. So each of the details is being furnished for us to let us know why Avram was so sick and what he was doing personally to try to help himself. He sat outside to be exposed to the sun. We all know how the sun makes you feel better, whether it works physically, biologically, or not, vesachish. But psychologically, we feel better. And in fact, he will quote a pasuk, which is quoted frequently, V'haya HaShemesh Mirapei. There's a pasuk, I forgot where, in Tehillim I think it is, where the sun is used as the image of what? Of curing, of healing. So, as a result, HaYavram Yoshev HaKon, Kidei Shiyakubo Mitzotzei HaShemesh Behit Chamein. So that what? The rays of the sun will strike him. He'll be directly exposed to that sun. So the Barba now says, don't give me what Rashi says, Be'elonai Mamreis, because he gave him the idea for the Mila. Don't give me Kichom Ayom, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the sun out, because he wanted to keep visitors away. Don't give me Vehu Yoshev, because we're getting to judgment here, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing. All three pieces of information are here to are designed to tell us how Avram was struggling as a result of his mila, and how he tried his own therapeutic approach, which is perfectly logical. Sit out in the sun, in the boiling heat, and maybe that'll have an impact. And apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognized even this was not doing the trick. So Vayera Elav Hashem, while Avram was trying to do whatever he was supposed to do, which is exactly what we are supposed to do. You're not supposed to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for miracles. You're supposed to go to the doctor, take your medications, and then pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes.
I always wondered why Hashem didn't give Avraham Kippayon, thinking that it's Kechom Hayom like in Yonah, and I never understood that.
But why would, see,
because I was
now Yonah, we did it because it says that Yonah felt badly over the fact that Nineveh was being saved. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach him a little lesson. You didn't do anything. Why would Avraham deserve that? Oh, you need to keep that. And also, that would be contrary.
Well,
Yonah was sitting in the burning Hatzah, and he was upset with it. So God gave him a little shade. Avraham wants to sit in the sun.
That's only this Mepharish. But the other Mepharish would think that it's bad, and I never understood why Hashem didn't like alcohol.
But he was inside the tent. What are you going to do? Just turn on the air conditioner. What's the problem? Go to his lounge chair and turn on the air conditioner. Yeah.
Maybe,
maybe
this also is the answer why God didn't say anything after he came. Because all he was there to do was...
Precisely. All he was there, that's it. There's no other tachlis to this met. Exactly. Perfect. All right? We'll stop here. We'll continue next of up. We will start Pasuk Bet. This is what you got to do. You got to learn this way.
Were we taught that Hashem is, whenever you're sick, Hashem is there to help heal you? For some reason,
God is a Rofei Cholim. We say it every day in Davening. That's one of God's tasks. So I hear you're going to a concert, to a sing-along on Saturday night.
Yes.
Great.
In Mir to Hashem.
Great.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I saw Dov Rina today.
You saw
Dov?
Dov is here.
He came in.
For Ariel Dorit?
No.
No.
He came with three boys. He always goes to NBA basketball. So it's in North Carolina or something. So they flew in this morning. And he's going to North Carolina tomorrow. He's going to be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The boy's going home. He does this every year.
So he's not coming to his cousin's bris. He's flying.
When is the bris?
Sunday morning.
No, he'll miss it. The game is Sunday.
I know. I mean, what's more important?
Of course.
Kanahara, the baby was screaming.
Oh, wow.
And the baby's like a month and a half old.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, my Hillel's brother lives in Minnesota, and this is his son.
Mm-hmm.
He came from California to be in Teaneck for a few years while his business grows.
Okay.
Planning to go back as I'll tell you. I was at my other kid's room, but I didn't get it.
He was one of the
I don't even know what this is.
Usually it's close.
Anyway, so it's next Thursday. So I can have one for my dinner on Wednesday. Next Thursday.
Great.
You're expecting it,
right? Yes. Another weekend. February 21st. Yes. We'll go again. Yeah. Yeah.
So they all went out, even though yesterday there was no soup?
Yeah, because all the letters were prepared.
It's a letter or it's an email?
It's both. And the email was sent out at 6 o'clock last night. That was the agreement.
Oh, okay.
Because normally the school, they don't want kids to get the email.
Texted me that Kelly got into both places that she applied for.
Where did she apply?
Mariana and Berea.
Okay.
And Berea would like to have a second choice.
Right.
She really wants to go.
So she's going to go.